Welcome. If you've seen my recent YouTube community post, you'll know that Night Tales is evolving. While I've enjoyed creating creepypasta stories, my passion for storytelling goes far beyond just one genre. That's why I've decided to expand this podcast into something more, a place where stories of all kinds can come to life. From ancient folklore and legendary myths to strange mysteries and imaginative tales, Night Tales is now becoming a space dedicated to exploring the limitless world of storytelling. While the types of stories may be expanding, you can still expect the same immersive storytelling, this same voice, and the same high-quality productions you've come to know. As we near Christmas, today's story opens the door to this new direction, one filled with snow, magic, and folklore, where the line between myth and memory blurs. So find a warm place, let the winter night surround you, and listen closely, because some stories are meant to be remembered, whether you believe them or not. This is I Was Lost in the Snow and Saved by a Folklore Legend. Enjoy. I've never told anyone this story, not really. I tried when I was younger, but no one believed me. They thought it was something I dreamed up, a way to explain how I survived that night. But it wasn't a dream, I know that, even if no one else does. It happened when I was 11, on Christmas Eve. My family used to rent a cabin deep in the snowy woods every December, a place far from the city, surrounded by towering evergreens and frozen lakes. It was meant to be a peaceful escape, where we could unplug and spend time together without distractions. I loved it there. That Christmas Eve, the world outside was a frozen wonderland. Snow fell in thick, soft flakes, covering everything in shimmering white. Inside the cabin, the fire crackled, and the smell of pine and cinnamon filled the air. My parents were decorating the little tree we'd brought, and my older brother was wrapped in a blanket, nose buried in a book. But I couldn't sit still. The snow outside was too tempting. I bundled up in my thick coat, scarf, and gloves, pulled on my boots, and begged my parents to let me go play in the snow, just for a little while. They agreed, but my mother warned me not to wander too far into the trees. "Stay where we can see the cabin lights," she said firmly. I promised. The forest was like something out of a fairy tale. The snow crunched beneath my boots, and the air smelled crisp and clean. The trees stood like silent guardians, their branches heavy with snow, forming towering walls of white and green. It was the kind of place that felt timeless, like something out of an old story, enchanted, waiting. I played for what felt like hours, building a lopsided snowman and tossing snowballs at imagined foes. I even carved a few shapes in the snow with a stick I found, tracing swirling patterns that looked almost like runes. The cold didn't bother me then, not when I was lost in the magic of the moment. But time moves strangely in the woods, especially in winter. The soft afternoon light faded faster than I expected, swallowed by heavy gray clouds. Snow began falling harder, thick and relentless, blurring the trees into shapeless forms. Before long, the cabin lights, my one point of reference, vanished behind the white curtain of the storm. I wasn't worried at first. I'd grown up playing in the woods and thought I knew them well, but the snow came down faster than I expected, covering my tracks almost as soon as I made them. The trees seemed to close in, dark and looming, their branches stretching like clawed hands toward the sky. I turned back the way I thought I'd come, but the landscape was unrecognizable. My snowman was gone, buried under fresh drifts, and the strange runes I'd drawn were wiped away by the storm's icy breath. Panic prickled at the edges of my mind. I called out for my family, my voice thin and desperate, but the snow swallowed the sound. The wind howled through the trees, twisting and echoing like a living thing. I ran in what I thought was the right direction, my boots sinking into deep, powdery snow with every step. The cold seeped into my gloves and boots, biting at my skin. My breath puffed out in frantic clouds, but the air felt sharper with each gasp. My fingers burned and my legs grew heavy, weighed down by exhaustion and ice. I was completely, hopelessly lost. The minutes stretched into what felt like hours. The falling snow turned the world into a swirling, endless white void. I forced myself to keep moving, knowing that if I stopped, the cold would claim me. But each step grew slower, each breath more ragged. The forest seemed wrong somehow, silent, watching. Just when I thought I couldn't take another step, I saw it. A light, faint but steady, glowing warmly through the trees. A small golden flame flickering against the endless white. My heart surged with desperate hope, and I stumbled toward it, half running, half falling through the snow. The light grew brighter with every step, guiding me through the storm like a distant star. At last, I broke through the tangled line of trees, and there it was. A small, ancient-looking cottage stood in a snow-covered clearing, its windows glowing with soft, golden light. Smoke curled lazily from a stone chimney, and a wreath of evergreen branches and silver ribbons hung on the weathered wooden door. It looked like something from an old storybook, forgotten by time, but still standing, eternal and unchanged. Relief flooded me. I didn't care how strange it seemed. All I knew was that I was saved. My frozen hands trembled as I staggered to the door and knocked, the sound muffled by the thick falling snow. For a long moment, nothing happened. Silence stretched, broken only by the faint crackle of the wind. Just as despair began creeping back in, the door creaked open. A figure stood in the firelight, tall and cloaked, his long white beard glinting like frost. His eyes, those eyes, deep, knowing, ancient, yet gentle. they sparkled with something old and powerful, something far beyond the world I knew. "Come inside, child," he said, his voice warm and steady, like the crackling of a hearth. "You must be frozen to the bone." I didn't hesitate. I stepped inside, leaving the storm and everything I thought I understood behind. The warmth hit me instantly as I stepped inside, chasing the biting cold from my fingers and toes. The scent of wood smoke and something faintly sweet like spiced apples hung in the air. A roaring fire crackled in a wide stone hearth, its golden light dancing across the room's wooden walls. It felt like stepping into another world, one that belonged to stories older than time. The man who had opened the door watched me closely, his deep-set eyes gleaming with quiet understanding. His expression wasn't surprised or even curious, more like he had expected me, though I couldn't imagine how. "Sit by the fire," he said gently, gesturing toward a sturdy hand-carved chair draped with thick wool blankets. "Warm yourself." I hesitated, unsure of what to say, but exhaustion overtook caution. My frozen limbs ached with relief as I sank into the chair, letting the heat seep into my bones. "You've come a long way," he said after a moment, more statement than question. "The snow can be cruel to those who lose their way."
I got lost," I stammered, still breathless from the cold and confusion. "I couldn't find my way back."
His expression softened. "Few can on a night like this." Before I could ask what he meant, he handed me a steaming cup of something fragrant and warm. A tea unlike anything I'd ever tasted. It filled me with an unfamiliar sense of comfort, like a distant memory of safety. The room was small but cozy, filled with old things that seemed lovingly made and carefully kept. Wooden shelves lined the walls, crammed with leather-bound books, bundles of dried herbs, and carved wooden trinkets shaped like stars and trees. Candles burned steadily on the mantel, their flames flickering gently but never fading. The air felt alive, charged with something old and powerful, something deeper than magic, though I didn't have words for it then.
"You live out here alone?"
I asked tentatively, glancing toward the frost-covered window. The storm still howled beyond the thick glass, as if angry it couldn't reach me.
"For now," he said with a small smile, stirring the kettle. "Winter keeps me busy."
Busy doing what, exactly, I couldn't guess, but something in his voice suggested it was a duty he'd carried for a long, long time. I studied him more closely. The worn cloak draped over his shoulders, stitched with intricate silver patterns like frost on glass. The old leather boots dusted with snow. The carved staff resting against the hearth, its surface etched with swirling runes that seemed to shimmer faintly when the firelight touched them. He looked like someone pulled from the stories my grandmother used to tell on winter nights, tales of wanderers and spirits who walked the snowy woods, helping the lost or guiding them home, if they were lucky. But those
were just stories, weren't they? "Who are you?" I asked at last, my voice barely above a whisper. For a long moment, he didn't answer. His gaze drifted toward the window, as though seeing far beyond the storm. When he finally spoke, his voice was quiet, thoughtful, almost distant. "I am someone who remembers what the world has forgotten." His answer should have left me more confused, but somehow it didn't. It felt right, even if I couldn't explain why. Before I could ask anything else, he rose from his chair, wrapping his cloak tightly around his shoulders. "It's time," he said, his tone steady but urgent. "The storm is easing. You must go." A strange ache bloomed in my chest. Not fear exactly, but something close. I didn't want to leave, not yet. This place felt safe in a way I couldn't describe. "But how will I find my way back?" His hand closed gently around the carved staff by the hearth. Its surface glimmered faintly under his touch, like moonlight on freshly fallen snow. "I will guide you." I didn't argue. Somehow, I trusted him completely. He opened the door and the wind surged in, cold and sharp. But the storm had broken. The snow fell softly now, blanketing the forest in shimmering silver under a sky scattered with stars. The woods that had seemed so dark and endless before now glowed faintly, as though lit from within. We walked in silence, his staff glowing softly with each step, leaving a trail of faintly shimmering light in the snow. It felt like the trees moved aside for him, clearing a path that hadn't been there before. I don't know how long we walked. Time seemed strange again, stretching and folding in on itself like the drifting snow. But at last, I saw something familiar. The faint, flickering lights of the cabin just visible through the trees. My heart surged with relief, and something else. Sadness. I turned to thank him, but he was already gone. The trail behind me had vanished, leaving no sign of our passage. Only a single evergreen sprig lay in the snow where he'd stood, tied with a delicate silver ribbon that shimmered faintly under the starlight. I picked it up carefully, cradling it in my frozen hands like something sacred. Before I could even call out, distant voices echoed through the woods, my family calling my name. I stumbled toward the cabin, overwhelmed with relief as their worried faces appeared through the trees. They didn't believe me when I told them about the cottage, or the staff that glowed like moonlight, or the man who had guided me home. They said I must have imagined it all, delirious from the cold. But I knew the truth. I still do. I kept the evergreen sprig, placing it carefully on my bedside table every winter since. It's never withered, never faded. And sometimes, on the coldest winter nights, when the wind howls through the trees and the stars glitter like frost, I find another sprig tied with silver ribbon resting quietly on my windowsill. I like to think he still watches, still walks the snowy paths, guiding those who are lost, even if the world has long forgotten his name. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the story, please consider subscribing to the podcast, leaving a review, and sharing it with someone who loves a good story. It truly helps keep these tales alive. And if you'd like to experience more stories brought to life with immersive visuals, head over to the Night Tales YouTube channel and subscribe. There's a link in the show notes. Your support means the world. I'll be releasing new stories regularly, so stay tuned. See you next time.